This is Brendan Dillon, defenseman with the Winnipeg Jets. You're listening to the Front Row Podcast.
This show is brought to you by Esdaile Printing. For nearly 40 years, Esdaile has been your source for banners, decals, signs, and your company needs. Check them out at 207 DeBatt Street in Winnipeg or online at esdaileprinting.com. You can also follow them on Twitter at Esdaile Printing or on Facebook.
Welcome back to the Front Row Podcast with Don Ross. I'm here with Ty Mitchell. How's it going?
Don, I'm doing really well, my friend. Thanks a lot for the invite today. Appreciate you, man. How you been?
Good. How are you?
I am doing marvelous. As the time of recording goes, just after 9 o'clock on a Friday. So always love Fridays. Always get fired up. Got to leave the house about 10 o'clock. Got a couple meetings today. Life in real estate on the move, although now I'm a little bit leery leaving the house after checking the road conditions this morning. Man, what happened? It was like spring weather in February, raining, and then all of a sudden now winter's back.
Yes, I usually walk to and from work, and it's like I looked up this morning, and it's like sidewalks are sheer ice, and it's like lucky I'm not working today.
You should have brought your CCM skates.
Yeah, that's the thing. I haven't skated in years, so.
Oh, no?
No. Be really rusty out there. Be Bambi on ice.
I'd pay to watch that. Look like the Winnipeg Jets out there. Man, they've had a tough go this last little bit.
Yeah, they lost 4 in a row, twice against Toronto. So.
Yeah, watching a few minutes of that game last night. I mean, we went from being a team that didn't give up any goals to a team that's not able to score any goals. It's been a weird last stretch here, but I think that's to be expected, right? You go into the All-Star break, everybody's, you know, a little excited, hot start. The guys all have holidays booked and, you know, a couple players and the coach going to Toronto for the All-Star affair. And I mean, maybe it's just a little post-All-Star break rust and they'll shake it off and better to slump now than heading into the playoffs, I say.
Yes. And, they have two games, one tomorrow against Pittsburgh and one against San Jose on Tuesday. Hopefully, I can kickstart their winning streak again and back on track.
Yeah, that's. I think the Valentine's Day game is against San Jose, isn't it?
Yes.
That's right. Yeah, my friend's going. He's planning to, well, maybe I shouldn't spoil the secret here, but keep your eyes on the Jumbotron if you're going to that game against San Jose. There's going to be a funny surprise up there from one of my friends.
Yes, I'm not going to that one, but I probably know the answer to that question, probably.
There you go.
And so can you name four teams in the NHL without an S at the end of their team name?
Man. Okay. There's four?
Four, yeah. Without an S not at the end of their team name.
Well, you got the Minnesota Wild.
Yeah.
Then you've got the Seattle Kraken.
Yes.
Then I'm working my way down the East Coast here to the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Yes.
And then the elusive fourth.
They want
what part of the country is it in?
The West.
Avalanche. Colorado Avalanche.
And Colorado, Minnesota.
Yeah.
Vegas going
Tampa Bay.
Tampa Bay and Colorado, yeah.
Yeah. It can't be Vegas because Golden Knights ends with it.
Yeah, I think I don't know why I was thinking Stanley Cup champions and that came up. So.
Oh, yeah.
Because Colorado Stanley Cup.
I got him.
Yeah.
There you go, buddy. That took me a moment. But, you know, like I remember somebody asking me one time, it's like an old trivia question where like there's only a certain amount of sports teams. I know Utah Jazz is like the first one that always comes to my mind when somebody says, what's a sports team that doesn't end in S?
Yeah, and most of them end with an S, yeah. So
Yeah.
I think I'm not big into basketball, so Utah is the only one that can come to my mind right now.
I know. I don't follow basketball in the slightest. I'd be lying if I said I did. I don't know who's good, who's not good. I assume the Lakers have LeBron James still, and they're probably in good shape, I suppose. But, yeah.
Yes, and then like the owner of the Utah Jazz is interested in having a team in Utah.
He is? Yeah. The NHL. I know. I hear that may be coming. It's either Houston or Salt Lake City, hey?
Yeah. So I think of hockey in Utah, I think of the Grizzlies from the IHL days.
Me too. And I'll tell you a little Utah Grizzlies story here. So I used to go to River Heights Junior High, and I had, you know, a lot of time, free time to cruise around the neighborhood. And at River Heights Community Center, the Manitoba Moose and the visiting teams would always practice because it was close to the old arena, right? That was by Polo Park. They would stay at like the Viscount Gort Hotel and just take the bus over, practice in the morning. So I would skip school and stay when the visiting teams would practice, and I would stick around and keep all the rolls of tape that they would leave behind and all the hockey sticks. Anyway, the Utah Grizzlies, they were practicing, and their coach at the time was a guy named Butch Goring. The equipment manager was a guy named Larry Ness, and there was the athletic therapist by the name of Greg Payette. And so these guys were just kind of sitting around watching their team practice, whatever. And I was chatting to them. I, you know, just a kid from the neighborhood chatting, hanging out. And I got to forge a bit of a relationship with these guys. They'd give me tickets to the game. And every time Utah would come here, I'd go and help them out, like, you know, at the arena with towels and sticks and stuff like that. So it was kind of cool. And one of the players, there are a couple guys that I remember really well from that team. There was a goalie by the name of Tommy Soderstrom. He was a draft pick of the New York Islanders because they actually used to be the New York Islanders farm team. Yeah. And there was another guy who you've probably heard of by the name of Todd Bertuzzi. Yeah. So Todd Bertuzzi was a young guy. And if you look back at his hockey DB, he spent a little stint down in the IHL with the Utah Grizzlies when he got sent down from the New York Islanders. So I was like a kid. I was in like grade 7 and I had my skates with me always, had my hockey stick, whatever. And towards the end of practice, you know, the trainer and the coach were like, hey, get out there, go skate with the guys. So I went out there, just a kid, you know, no equipment on or anything like that, just skating and passing the puck around with Bertuzzi. And I got to shoot on Tommy Soderstrom. And it's very weird that the Utah Grizzlies came up on this podcast because it's like one of my fondest memories of like hanging out with, you know, with a minor league sports team and just kind of living the dream. It was fun.
Yeah, it's totally different between the different levels of hockey, like NHL, AHL, former IHL teams, and like there's a lot of teams like I miss like watching like with the team names like Utah Grizzlies. They're in like the East Coast, or you used to be in the East Coast now, yeah. And like you got your Las Vegas Wranglers used to be in the East Coast, and
what about the Orlando Solar Bears?
Yeah, and the Detroit Vipers.
Oh, the Vipers. They had Gordie Howe play for a game in the IHL. Yeah. So that he could play in 6 consecutive decades. So I think he was like a 70-year-old man, and they put him out there for one shift. And I don't know, you know, how it goes, but he went out there, apparently did a twirl, and some guy who was playing, some young guy, was trying to make the NHL at the time or whatever, said Gordie Howe was coming down on him, and he didn't want to be the guy to body check a 70-year-old man who was doing a publicity stunt. But he also didn't want to let a 70-year-old man skate around him because he knew that his NHL career would be toast.
Yeah, that's the thing. And then there's a lot of different team names throughout the AHL, IHL. There's like, I looked it up, there's a team from New York called the Broom Dusters.
Oh, where's that? What league's that?
That was, I think, the IHL or AHL back in like 70s, 80s. Wow. So it's like
the Broom Dusters.
Yeah, it's like, okay, I guess they think of a creative name, and it's like, hey, let's call them the Broom Dusters.
That's right. And it's just look around the storage closet. What do we got in here? There's a broom. Well, let's call the team the Broom Dusters.
And it's like it's a cartoon guy who's sweeping a broom.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like,
yeah, I can see that.
That kind of reminds me of Charlie Brown cartoon.
Yeah, like, okay. Yeah, just amateur hour, stick figures.
Yeah, like, okay. And then, I don't know, I can't remember how long they've been around for, but they at least, like, a couple of seasons and got moved.
All right. You know what? I'm going to...
Yes,
let's see. The Broom Dusters Hockey Ice Team. Okay, so they were in the North American Hockey League out of Binghamton. Yes. Binghamton, New York. The Binghamton Broome County Dusters. Wow. Okay. Yeah. Oh, there you go. I had to fact check you. You're right.
Yeah, so this is a weird team name.
Yeah, I mean, as far as weird team names go, there's baseball's great. If you start going through minor league baseball teams, and you start seeing teams like the Rocket City Trash Pandas and the Savannah Bananas, that's another big team in minor league baseball.
Yeah, Savannah Bananas. Yeah, the yellow jerseys and
yeah,
different stuff.
There's a team that plays against the Gold Eyes, and I think they're called the Air Hogs. I don't know where they're from.
Yeah, I can't remember either, but they're the Air Hogs, and I think they were like in Texas somewhere, I think.
Might yeah, be. They are. And then there's the Chicago Dogs, and yes, they just have a hot dog on their jersey.
Yeah, it's like, and they play out, did they play out there, like the Wendling Stadium or something, or somewhere in Chicago?
Ooh, I don't know. I think maybe, yeah, I think they play in, I don't know, on the south side of Chicago, maybe, if that makes sense. Or on the boonies. Like, I think it's a suburb. Like, I don't think it's right in Chicago, but I think it's like kind of south and west. Because they had that guy that used to play for the Chicago Cubs who just lived in the area a couple years ago. That's why I saw it was a big publicity stunt. There was some guy, former Chicago Cub, still lived in town, still had a little baseball left in him. And then he went and, you know, graced everybody with his presence and playing for the minor league team. I don't know how well it went. I honestly didn't check, but.
Yeah, and then, yeah, the Gold Eyes is coming up starting not too, like, a few months, like 3 months. So.
Yeah, well, baseball spring training, Major League Baseball spring training starts, like, any time now. And then once Major League Baseball kind of has their players all cut and their lineup sorted, that's kind of when this this league starts out. But.
Yeah, and Prince Albert, at a Rays game for one game, they had a and they wore a special jersey, and they had a called Cobra Chickens. And that,
so is that the hat that you got on?
Yes.
I was gonna say that's a great, great logo.
Yeah, it's a Cobra Chickens. It's a goose on skates.
I love it. It's genius.
Yeah, and it's like, okay, I sent it. My brother's like, oh, I like that logo. Then he ordered a shirt. He's like, oh, do you want anything? I want me a hat. And he owed me this hat.
No way.
Yeah.
Holy cow. I wore my hat today, real broker.
Yeah.
I'll trade you.
So, yeah. This is a time of the year when a lot of houses are coming up for sale. And.
Yeah, yeah. It's an active market right now. I mean, it's, you know, a couple of things play into this. Interest rates are expected to start coming down. 2023 was a tough year for interest rates. So 2024, the anticipation of the market is that we're going to start seeing some stabilization. And eventually, you know, if the Bank of Canada continues to hold its rates and or drop its prime rate, we'll see the lenders start coming down with their interest rates. And not to mention, Winnipeg's always a seasonal market. So November, December, January, February, real estate can be kind of slow because not a ton of people are in the mindset of going out, looking at houses, you know, just before Christmas or when it's minus 40 in January. Then again, I mean, the market is still active. People are still buying and selling every day, but just the volume, the masses of people generally don't start coming out until maybe even end of February. Last year, it started hitting a little bit earlier. This year, it's felt like certain listings, like some houses, you know, in limited inventory, it's basic supply and demand. With limited inventory, some homes are getting lots of showings, lots of offers, and some really great sale prices too, like for the sellers. And we're kind of back to that where it's listings are busy. There hasn't been a lot. So, I mean, if you've got a house priced between, you know, $250,000 and $400,000 and you're considering selling, I mean, this would be the time to do it because the buying pool is just that much bigger. More active buyers, lots of first-time buyers, lots of new Canadians being eligible for purchases now because there was a foreign home buyers ban that had been in place. And obviously some of the regulations around that, while it's still in place, they've softened a bit. And yeah, we're seeing some more activity there. So yeah, real estate's been busy. It's incredible, you know, lucky enough that I was able to come from a career in radio, which I picked up a lot of the sensibilities and, you know, just communication skills, interpersonal skills, contract negotiations, like all of these things that I learned from my radio days, I'm now able to translate into real estate, right? At the end of the day, it's just helping people. And when I was in radio, it was a little bit different. We were doing lots of charity work, volunteering lots of time, hosting events, this kind of thing. Also giving away tons of prizes. And, you know, we're always like helping people and doing things for people, right? Going above and beyond, making that personal connection with the audience. And now my audience is somebody who's buying a house. So that's all that's changed, right? Instead of talking about, you know, an upcoming concert, we're talking about interest rates or, you know, 3 bedrooms, 2 bathrooms versus, a song from Tool, 3s and 9s. It's really, at the end of the day, it's been awesome. It's been so much fun making the transition over. Yeah.
Yeah. So near me, I know there's one new house came up for sale close by to me, and there's one that's been on the market for 6 months or more. So I was like,
yeah.
So I was like, that's,
why do you think that is? Why do you think a house sits on the market?
Cause it's a brand new build and it's like out of price, for the area. Right.
There you go. So that's right. It's priced too high for the neighborhood. So people are wondering, well, wait a second, do I really want the most expensive house on the block here? Again, yeah. The property taxes, but it is nice to have a new home in an established neighborhood too. But yeah, you're right. I think maybe, you know, some people with new builds have a hard time envisioning, you know, where it's at too, if it's not complete. And if you're just looking at the renderings or something online, you know, it's hard to see and imagine what that house is going to look like on that empty piece of property. Right. So sometimes it helps getting a house to completion before selling it too.
It's complete. It's like 5 bedrooms and 3 bathrooms.
Why don't you buy it?
Why? I don't have $700,000 to buy it.
Come on. Get that podcast money.
Yeah. Hey? Yeah. I don't have that kind of money sitting around. And
Got to get those paid ads on here, buddy.
I know. And so, yeah, that's the thing. Like, there's one house, that style of house doesn't fit the area. So I feel like it's more kind of like Henley there, like the new barrel there, and
yeah,
like Crestview is like one of those like smaller houses, 3 bedrooms max.
That's an established neighborhood.
Yeah,
so I actually have property coming up for sale right around the corner, not too far from you. You know where the Safeway is, obviously.
Yeah.
And you know where the community center is, right behind there.
Yeah.
You hang a left. Then you go around one of the little bays. I got a listing coming up there. So I'll be in your neck of the woods a little bit more in the next couple of weeks.
Yes, and hopefully, yeah. And I still got my podcast poster. I got everyone on there. Almost all everyone who came on my podcast to sign it. So
I still got to sign it. Hey, I wanted to ask you something.
Yeah.
Because I think, you know, you're the big podcast host here. You're always asking everybody the questions. You got all the hard-hitting questions here. So yes. Let me ask you one.
Yeah.
Are you a fan of wrestling?
Yes.
Have you been to the WPW?
No, I've been to CWE.
Right?
Yeah.
Do you have to be one or the other? Is that how it works? Like you can only, it's like NWO, WCW, WWE rivalry?
No, if you're a fan of wrestling, you go to everything, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I got to say, as somebody who, you know, maybe isn't the stereotypical wrestling fan. I don't watch a ton of wrestling on television or anything like that, but there was a local event that my friend invited me to a couple weeks ago. Just went on a whim. It was at the West End Cultural Center.
Yeah.
And that was a super fun night. So fun, in fact, that I bought my ticket for the next event as soon as I possibly could. Cause I was like, this was a great night out. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I see why people like going to the live events, because like on TV, it doesn't, I don't know. To me, I'm not going to watch it. I'm just not going to watch it. But when it's in person and you're seeing people actually performing and hearing the sounds and, you know, the sweats flying into the crowd and I mean, that's cool. And even WWE, like when I was in working in radio, we'd get all the tickets to the WWE events. So I've sat like ringside at WWE. I was on the floor. I caught a pancake from
The New Day.
Oh, who are the guys that who?
The New Day.
New Day. New that's Day. Them.
Yeah.
I was in the crowd, and is it Kofi Kingston?
Kofi Kingston, Xavier Woods, Big E.
Yeah. Yeah, so this guy, threw a pancake in the crowd, and I just reached up, and I grabbed it, and I just took a big bite, and my buddy laughed, and he said, like, you realize that was in some, like, big old sweaty guy's hand, right? And I'm like, I didn't think about that.
Yeah, I think sometimes he is in his leotard, and he has him in his leotard, and just pulls it out, and tosses it. It's like, no. I'm not sure what they like use water or some kind of oil to before they come out to the ring.
Yeah. Just grease it right up.
Yeah.
Why don't you get into wrestling? I could see you being a wrestler out there or like a manager. You'd be like one of the like the Undertaker.
Like Paul Bearer? Like
Paul Bearer.
Or
Ooh, Paul Bearer. That was a good bit. And that was a pretty good that's gotta be one of the all time wrestling characters. The Undertaker. I gotta say, like, Razor Ramon is up there for me.
Yeah.
Gotta be Bret the Hitman Hart. And then Shawn Michaels would probably also be on my Mount Rushmore.
And
the Heartbreak Kid.
I was a big fan of Owen Hart back in the 90s. Before he passed away there. Typical Canadians, we always cheer for the Canadian guys and like.
That's right.
So, like, there's Chris Jericho, then there's like Kenny Omega.
Okay, trivia question. Yeah. Trivia question. What street in your neighborhood is named Honorary Chris Jericho Way?
I just seen this recently. I can't remember.
Time's up. Wordsworth Way.
Okay. I just
Wordsworth Way in Westwood. And you know who grew up on that street? Local radio personality from 94.3 Now Radio, David Turnbull.
Oh, Turnbull. Yeah.
Turnbull. Yeah, he grew up on the same street as Chris Jericho. So obviously he was destined for greatness.
Yes, and he doesn't live too far from me. He's like only a few streets over from me now, so.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, he knows. I know. It's funny. He told me. He sees you at the Safeway.
Yeah. And
you and hanging out with all your celebrities there at the Safeway. Hey. Who else comes in there, hey?
Oh wait. Brendan Dillon, Dylan DeMello.
Yeah.
I saw LA Knight at Safeway.
Who's LA Knight?
He's a wrestler from WWE.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I heard Jericho came in there once, but I wasn't there that day.
Ooh. Man, you must have been choked about that.
Yeah. I was like, oh, a little bit upset, but not like, okay, whatever. Like, Chris Jericho. You know, I was like, yeah. Then there's, different hockey players like Nolan Baumgartner comes in there once in a while, and
the Bomber. What's he doing now?
Assistant coach with the Moose.
Oh yeah, okay.
Yeah,
that's the life, hey. Being an assistant coach, you don't have any pressure on you. It's just kind of like do to do. It's like being the backup goalie, right? Although, eventually, you got to play. And I think the tough thing about being a backup goalie is you're expected to be good and win a game when you haven't played in like 5 or 6 weeks.
Yes. And, so it seems like you get like 1 in 5 games and it's kind of difficult. Like, I wish they more circle them back in, you know, like maybe 1 in 3 games, you know, I don't need to get like back the back-to-back games. They get the second game on the back-to-back, but.
Yeah, that's true. And, you know, as far as, like, I mean, just to bring it to the Winnipeg Jets, but, like, having a backup goalie that, you know, just won a Stanley Cup in Laurent Brossoit, I think the Jets are in pretty good shape. You know, they're built for a deep playoff run. I think they just got to find their stride again, right?
Yes, that's the thing. They hopefully this homestand kind of gets that ball rolling again and get
maybe Valentine's Day. Maybe it'll take a little Valentine's Day for the boys. Maybe they just got to get some rose petals around the dressing room and light some candles, throw on some Barry Manilow and a little Neo and dim the lights. Man, maybe that's all they need. Set the mood at Canada Life Center.
Yes, and that'd be a good game. Hopefully they can pull the win against San Jose on Wednesday night, I believe.
That would be awesome. Yes. No doubt.
Okay, thanks for coming on.
Thanks, buddy. Well, I appreciate it. Yeah, no, that's great. I want to thank you for having me on. And if there's anybody watching or listening and thinking, hey, I might need to buy or sell a home in 2024. You can get in touch with me, Ty Mitchell, anytime, 431-996-2077. There's a shameless plug for you, Don, 431-996-2077. Or check out my website anytime, tysellswpg.com.
Okay.
Thanks for listening to the Front Row Podcast. Download the show on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts. Contact us on Twitter or Instagram at Podcast Front Row and join in the conversation. Catch us next time on the Front Row Podcast.